This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is Geek Squawks. My name is Jeff Sandu, together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. Now, I have a very important question here, Matt. Could teleporting ever work?
Yeah. I mean, there's no need for us to have the discussion any further than this. I want it to work, therefore it will work. End of story. Okay, let's have the break and we'll move to part two.
But in all seriousness though, could teleportation actually ever work? And this is actually, you know, from an article on Gizmodo. And, you know, they go through all the nitty-gritties or details of how teleportation could possibly work through experts not like me and Matt. So I'm not going to bore you in terms of how the experts have described, you know, what could actually happen. But I'm just thinking, like, maybe now I think there would be a real big interest in finding out how to make this work, because, you know, we're in this, you know, like you mentioned in MSP, we're in this world where we can't travel easily. It's just so difficult. There's so many barriers to travel. Even in a post-pandemic world, there's going to be more checks, more security checks, temperature checks. And what if, you know, if you're sick, you can't travel, then maybe you would get, you know, the Elon Musk of this world to, instead of thinking about going to Mars, maybe do research on teleportation. Because like you said, me and you, we want this to happen.
We do want this to happen. And actually, this isn't so much part of the story that we're about to discuss, but there is all that, also that aspect that things like teleportation could be a way to escape diseases and viruses, because you could beam yourself from one place to another but reassemble yourself without those cells that were causing the problem in the first place. But yeah, that's going above and beyond what we're not even going to be able to explain to people for the next 5 minutes.
Are you talking about different timelines here, Matt?
No, not even different timelines. So, for example, let's say that you are Jeff and you have the coronavirus, mm-hmm. But there's no cure for the coronavirus. You could simply beam yourself to, I don't know, from the living room to the kitchen, but when you're reassembled, you're reassembled without the cells that were actually infected, or without, for example, if you had cancer or whatever, you're reassembled with healthy cells rather than the ones that you had before. But like I said, that's far away and beyond the realm of even the quantum teleportation that you have to explain.
No, I'm not going to do that, because it goes way beyond my sort of, you know, understanding of what quantum computing is or even quantum teleportation is. But all I can say is that it's not really good news. You know, it looks like even if it does happen, teleporting humans are just really, really, you know, very difficult, probably not going to happen. But maybe it could possibly be for, you know, smaller things where it could possibly be, happen, but it's still it's not going to happen in our lifetime. That's for sure.
Well, I mean, ignoring how complicated this is, if we just assume that it's really simple, quantum teleportation happens simply by you moving one set of atoms to, not moving one set of atoms to another place, but you jumping from one set of atoms to another place. So, for example, if Jeff was to be quantum teleported, you would take the essence of what Jeff is. Jeff would be destroyed in the place that he leaves, and he would actually be imprinted on another set of atoms in that other place. However, because those atoms are exact replicas of the ones he's left, he would still be essentially the same Jeff who had left before. But obviously, in order to actually prove that model, it's going to require a lot of testing that's ultimately going to be very messy, because it requires a lot of melted Jeffs being left in one place. And also, you know, you only really have one chance to get it right, because Jeff is going to be very unhappy if he's not successfully teleported the first time. There are no do-overs once you've destroyed every single atom that was his existence.
Yeah, I don't think I want to go through the shredder yet again, as you know, Future Matt has proved me many times, it's not a pleasant journey to go through that journey itself. So yeah,
it's not. I think one of the more interesting examples that was shown here was actually that you could just teleport very small parts of the person, and you could actually use 3D bioprinters to print up another version. So, for example, you wouldn't necessarily need to send the whole of Jeff. You could simply print out the biological parts of Jeff and send whatever that incalculable part of Jeff is, that is consciousness, to the new version of Jeff in that other location. That might be theoretically and feasibly possible, but the level of calculation is quite incredible. I think we mentioned on a show a few weeks ago that just trying to quantify the level of consciousness in a human brain with the current computers we have would take billions of years. Mm. So again, that process of actually deciding what the conscious part of Jeff is and sending it over, that biological body on Mars may actually have died about 20,000 millennia before your consciousness reaches it. Mm.
Anyways, when we come back though, if you do have, like, you know, a super brain, NASA may probably need your help because they want to design something really cool. We'll talk about that in just a bit. BFM 89.9.
Bluff-free medium, BFM 89.9.
And welcome back. It is Geek Squawks, Jeff Sandu, together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. So just before the break, we talk about would teleportation ever work? And, you know, we started talking about, like, how, you know, it's just really difficult to quantify, even, like, you know, the human brain is generally, you know, very difficult to sort of map it out completely. Now, if you are one of those super genius, I think, you know, probably you might want to partake in this project because it is an interesting one.
Can I just literally butt in and say this may be my favorite story on Geeks ever?
NASA wants to hear your ideas for engineering the best toilet to use on the moon. It's getting down to business on the lunar surface. It is actually really fascinating because when NASA sends astronauts back to the moon, they will need a place to go to the bathroom when they reach the lunar surface. So in order to create the best moon toilet the solar system has to offer, NASA wants to hear from, you know, basically every one of us who might have ideas on the best way to manufacture an easy-to-use lunar restroom, and they're calling it the Lunar Loo Challenge. It's in partnership with HeroX to come up with the best space toilet for NASA. I mean, that's going to be cool on your CV.
No, it is going to be cool. But you know how for the first story, you said it would be cool to get Elon Musk thinking about how to work out teleportation. And I don't mean this in any negative way at all, but I think Elon Musk's vision of a lunar loo would be so awesome and literally out there. I would love to see him enter this competition as well.
Actually, I am surprised that, you know, SpaceX are, you know, didn't really thought about this because, you know, remember when they partnered up with NASA to send the crew up to the ISS, they redesigned the entire suit. So, you know, you would expect that, you know, SpaceX would have some pretty cool, you know, Elon Musk slash Tony Stark slash James Bond kind of toilet on the moon.
I imagine they've figured out some kind of system for their rockets. But I think having read through the piece, I think one of the issues with a lunar loo is that it has to work in both no gravity and low gravity. And that's where you get complications because obviously there are, gosh, we're having to skirt around a lot of stuff here. Materials are going to behave differently in those different environments. So you need a space toilet that will still work. As for example, if a rover is going across the moon's surface and somebody's using it as the rover does a little jump into the air and loses some of the gravity. So you need things that are going to be adaptable. And that's one of the reasons they've put this out to challenge. But I do find it funny because when we talked about space a few weeks ago, we did talk about how NASA had changed the way that it was actually doing a lot of space research. So it's bringing in partners like SpaceX. But for some reason, it is retaining control of the Lunar Loo. So it is going to specify how that loo will look and how it will work to the people like SpaceX or Blue Origin that have to incorporate it into their own vessels. So yes, I've not come across a superimposed toilet before. Mm.
Well, you know, if you've been if you have been wondering, like, how do actually astronauts when they're going up to space actually go to the toilet, it's actually really, really difficult. So that's why they were saying that whatever that NASA or the public come up with is probably way better than what the Apollo astronauts had, because the Apollo spacecraft that took humans to the moon, it didn't have any toilets at all. To urinate, they had to actually pee into a rubber tube, which basically, you know, worked like the condom that transferred the liquid either outside to the spacecraft or into a storage container. And doing the number two was even worse. The crew actually had to use the plastic bags with sticky rings around the rim when it's kind of like attached to their behind so that it doesn't kind of like fly around in the spaceship. That is just...
And they mentioned that it kind of works better if you have a friend to help you, which is really just not what you want at that point in your life.
I know. You do feel sorry, though, like, you know, for all the astronauts and, during that time. So hopefully, we will be able to come up with a better toilet system.
Well, I've got one. I'm going to do away with the toilet completely. I reckon we could have nanobots. Nanobots that just go in and out of your body and get rid of all the waste materials and scuttle out. I think we can do that.
So you want me to swallow a nanobot before I go to space?
No, even worse. I want them to swarm all over you and to invade your body. I want them to be able to actually go inside your pores and to just do their business inside them and then just come out, empty themselves, and come back to work. Mm.
Well, you know what, Matt? If you do actually decide to go with that idea, I will probably pursue my ninja master's degree because in Japan, they have produced its first ninja study graduate after Genichi Mitsuhashi spent 2 years honing his martial arts skills and absorbing the finer traditions of, ninja. And for, he's 45 years old, completed the master's course at the Mii University in central Japan. And it's the region considered to be home of the ninja. So you can actually get a ninja degree and it's legit.
Yeah. I mean, the only drawback that that they say is at the end, it is a degree that teaches you about being a ninja, but not how to become one, which is a bit of a letdown. You study for 3 years and you've got a degree in ninja studies, but you're not quite a ninja. I think we need to reintroduce them.
It's just a degree. It's not a PhD or a master's, all right?
Hey, I've got it. Ninja nanobots. That's going to be my space toilet.
All right. Before you get any more ideas, I think we just got to call for Geek Tunes. What do we have, Matt?
We have an old favorite for geeks. And again, this goes in with the kind of space theme. This is Charles Bradley and The World is Going Up in Flames.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.